Hey, this is Kevin Sorbo here, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. And really, do some thinking, seriously. From all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Hey everybody, this is Mike from the Long Box guys. Welcome to part three of our three-parter Con Man Season 2 extras, where I interview the extras from Con Man Season 2. I apologize to everyone who's been waiting for this third part. It took me a while to finally edit all the interviews I had out. This will be the last one. And again, I appreciate everybody for listening. And I would like to thank all the people at Con Man Season 2 who were nice enough to invite me over to be an extra. If you haven't seen Con Man Season 1, you should totally check it out. It's on Vimeo. And Con Man Season 2 will be coming on soon on Comic-Con Headquarters. It's going to be its own pay channel. You can get the first 30 days free, so you can check it out. And all the, in addition to that show, they're going to have all the interviews from the San Diego Comic-Con that are going to be on that channel. So it's going to be a good deal. It's only $5 a month. I'm definitely going to be subscribing. Anyways, thanks again for listening, and let's get on with the interviews.
Hi, I'm Kelly Ferguson, and I'm from Phoenix, Arizona.
I'm guessing by your outfit that you're a Whovian. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
And who is your doctor?
Tennant, always. He will always be my doctor.
And who's your companion?
Martha. I love Martha. I know that's a weird one, but she will always, again, have my heart.
Nobody ever says Martha. You're the first person I've interviewed who said Martha.
Really? Martha's amazing. She's so strong. So I don't know. I think she's great.
Now, why do you like Martha?
Again, she's strong. Her character development was great. You know, she started off kind of being a little bit more weepy, but then as time went by, she really grew as a character and got stronger. And then, I mean, she was so cool. They put her in Torchwood. So I just love Martha.
So if you were going to go recommend somebody to start on Doctor Who, what would you suggest they start with?
Oh, my gosh. Let me think. I love Don't Blink. That one is personally my favorite.
What is it called?
I think it's called Don't Blink, and that's the one with the Weeping Angels, and it has Tennant. He's pretty much the one that started the whole Weeping Angel thing, and I love that episode.
What do you do?
I'm a filmmaker currently. I go back and forth from Phoenix to Savannah, Georgia, and Atlanta. So right now I'm just out here helping a friend. He works on the extra, or the con man thing. I don't know what he's doing. I think he's producing or something like that, and he just invited me out here.
So where can people see your work that you're making?
You can either go to my Facebook fan page, it's just Kellyanne Ferguson, or I do have an Instagram account, and it's Kettle and an underscore Kappa, or my Vimeo, which is, again, just Kelly Ferguson.
And what are you doing out in Savannah? What are you working on?
Well, it just really depends. There's always something different that we're working on. The last thing I did work on was Dirty Grandpa, and that was back last year. But then I came back to Phoenix to work on set for a news station. And then I'm going to be heading back out, and then I'll be in Atlanta again. So.
Awesome. Now, do you go to Comic-Cons and stuff like that, or are you just into the films and you're only here to help a friend?
Of course. I love Comic-Con. I'm going actually to San Diego here soon, so I can't wait for that.
Now, are you going to cosplay at San Diego?
Probably not, because it's more of like a connections thing for me. I go there and get to know people, and I don't know, I want to seem kind of a little bit more professional, so I don't tend to cosplay there.
Okay, what about Dragon Con?
I have gone to Dragon Con. I actually went as Gene Belcher from Bob's Burgers, so it's a little different.
Were you there last year?
I wasn't there last year, unfortunately. I think I had, I was in school at the time. And I had a bunch of finals or midterms and something at the time, so I couldn't make it.
Okay, and what was your introduction into geek culture? What drew you in?
My mom, as weird as that sounds, I grew up with her watching Star Trek. She took me to the Star Trek convention. She introduced me to all the British film and television, such as Doctor Who. So I watched the original Doctor Who while I was growing up, and, you know, Monty Python, all of that. It's all because of her. And my love for horror and scary movies, definitely my mother.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Hi, I'm Dana. I'm from Redondo Beach, California.
And I'm guessing from your garb today that you are a Whovian. Is that correct?
I am. I'm not, like, you know, because my friends are, like, really super into it and they got me into it. So I do love the show, but it's not, I wasn't, like, you know, it was kind of like a last minute decision. It's like what I had on hand, you know, because, like, I found out, like, the night before that we were coming here that it was going to be like cosplay is encouraged. So I was like, I don't really have cosplay, but I have this Doctor Who dress.
So is there a genre out there that you really love? Sci-fi, fantasy, westerns, snuff porn, what?
I love horror. Horror is like my everything.
I was close with the snuff porn.
Yeah, a little bit, I guess. Kind of, yeah.
It's just something about you that screamed it. I don't know what it was.
Thanks, I guess. That's a compliment.
So what kind of horror movie do you like? Do you like the classic horror movies, the monster movies, the B movies? What kind of horror are you talking about?
80s horror is like the epitome, like the pinnacle of like horror experience for me. Like Child's Play, Nightmare on Elm Street, like those are like my favorites. But there's like other like kind of like lesser known ones that I just like. Night of the Comet is like definitely like a really good one. Like nobody's heard of that before. I'm like excited.
Oh, I saw that in the movie theater. You're talking to an old person.
Yeah,
right here.
No, it's like nobody's like really ever seen it before. Like, you know, when anytime I talk to people about it, they're like, huh? So I was just like.
Night of the Comet is an excellent movie. I suggest everybody go check it out. If you were going to make a film, would it be a horror film?
I would definitely love to do a horror film someday. Like, I'm very interested in, like, set design, costume design, like, you know, special effects, makeup and everything. And I feel like the horror genre is, like, very good for, like, all of the above, especially with the special effects makeup. And I like the hard effects, too, not the CGI so much. So I would definitely love to, like, do, like, a throwback, like, honor to, like, the 80s. Yeah, I know it's a little cheesy, but, you know, that's what it gave it its charm.
You said old school, so you like Evil Dead? Have you seen that?
I do like Evil Dead. I actually, once again, my friends are bigger fans of it, but I appreciate, you know, I love Bruce Campbell, I love Sam Raimi, you know, so it's a classic, and, you know, how can you not like Evil Dead?
You seem more like a John Carpenter kind of fan. Am I right on that, or am I reading you wrong?
Not really. I mean, maybe Wes Craven would have to be.
Oh, all right.
Or, like, I don't know if it's Don Mancini or Don Mancini. I don't know how to exactly pronounce his last name. But, you know, the creator of Child's Play. Like, I think I like their style a little bit more.
What was it that pulled you into the geek culture? Was it a certain genre, a friend who was like, hey, you got to go check this out? Or were you just at home watching stuff? I mean, a horror movie and said, you know, hey, these are my kind of people. I want to hang out with them.
I think I just was born a geek. You know, I was always very, in my eyes, like for the, like with my family and like my friends and everything when I was growing up, I was always just that oddball. You know, I really like instantly just like took to, you know, like all just like, you know, I loved Tim Burton when I was like six. Like I was in love with Beetlejuice. He was like one of my first crushes. Like I wanted to be Catwoman when I was like eight, you know, like, you know, I got into X-Men, like I started reading comics when I got a little bit older. I mean, maybe I can attribute it to like my first cousin who was a boy and like my age. So, you know, I had that connection. I mean, I know this stuff, like, especially when I was a kid, like this, like comics and things like that were usually considered more of like a boy thing. But I think like even if my cousin wasn't part of my life, I probably still would have, like, you know, I like playing with Barbies and Legos, you know, like definitely.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Hi, my name is Y. I'm from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada.
Kate Murphy from Eureka Springs, Arkansas.
And what brought you all the way down here from Canada? Is just for filming?
Yeah, basically. They did a Indiegogo last year for Con Man, so we got re-invited back from last year.
So were you a extra last year, too?
Yes.
And where would we have seen you? Where is your big scene in Con Man Season 1?
You wouldn't have, because I was only there for one day and I was like in the back. So I actually didn't get to go and be part of the first one, really. But it was fun just to be here for the experience.
What brought you to Con Man? Were you a Firefly fan, or do you? I think you said you were a Knight's Tale fan?
No, I was Firefly. Oh. Yeah.
And Firefly, what was your favorite character on Firefly?
Honestly, I don't think you can pick a favorite, because I don't. You can't pick a favorite.
Would you like to hear my theory about Firefly?
Go ahead.
Shepherd Book's son is the assassin in the movie Serenity.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Right?
I can see that.
You can totally.
Yeah, I can.
You can totally see that, right?
I can.
And you're a gamer girl, is that correct?
That's correct.
And what kind of games do you like to play?
Well, I used to play World of Warcraft and Star Wars Old Republic, but right now we're just playing Smite.
And when you were on World of Warcraft, Alliance or Horde?
Alliance.
And what about you?
For the Horde!
I see where you're coming from. I liked Horde, but I preferred Alliance for some reason. I don't know. You can think less of me now if you want. Look, there's a lot of haters out there for women who play video games. Have you ever experienced any of that?
Absolutely, in Dark Age of Camelot.
And what was going on? What happened?
Oh, I had like a male character and a female character, and sometimes I'd forget who I was like typing on because I had two computers. And then if I was typing on the female, they'd just like basically turn down whatever suggestion she made. But if I used the male character and went, you know, that's a good idea, we should do this, then they'd be like, oh yeah, maybe, yeah, sure.
Wow, that is crazy. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ben Spector, and I'm coming all the way out here from Herndon, Virginia, which is right outside of Washington, D.C.
Now, Ben, you're on Con Man Season 2 as an extra, and you are the guy walking around with a fully designed Spectrum spaceship Lego model. Did you build that yourself?
Yes, I did. It was totally without plans, without any kit or anything. It was just what I had and what I wanted to do with it.
Now, you must be a big Lego guy.
Yeah, absolutely I am. I go to Lego conventions every single August. They have a big one right near me, so that's a very enjoyable thing to do.
Is it just Lego conventions, or do you go to Comic-Cons also, or...?
I've been to two or three cons. I went to one in London, and I went to AwesomeCon recently. And actually, when I was at a con recently, I like to get vintage Lego sets autographed by the celebrities, because we have a charity auction at the Lego convention that I attend every year. And when you donate something like that to charity, it gets a lot of money, which is fantastic.
Oh, that's awesome. So, the Legos, are you going to be an engineer later on in your life?
Yeah, I'm looking to become a mechanical engineer.
All right, that makes sense. You just graduated high school?
Yes, that's right.
And where are you going to college, or are you going to college?
Yeah, I'm going to the University of Virginia, so I'll start college in maybe a month from now, so in mid-August.
All right, so are you single?
Yes.
So all you ladies out there going to the University of Virginia, you need to look up Ben, because he can build you an amazing Lego toy. What's your favorite science fiction show right now?
I'd have to say Spectrum. I'm a huge Spectrum fan. No, I'm joking. I'm a big Firefly fan. I really love Doctor Who. I love the original Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy TV show. I love all the old stuff. So I'm a big fan of all that.
Okay, so next time you go to Comic-Con, I'm going to give you a cosplay. I want you to go as Arthur Dent. All you need is a bathrobe, slippers, and a towel.
I've actually done that. When I went to London for London Comic-Con, I actually went and had my bathrobe and my towel with me and an old vintage calculator as my Hitchhiker's Guide. And luckily, it was in England, so people actually knew who it was, which was very fun.
That is awesome. All right, well, thank you very much, Ben.
Okay, thank you so much.
I'm Nicholas McMichael. I am from Seattle, and I actually helped on the Indiegogo campaign for Season 1 of Con Man. And I guess I was on one of the higher tiers in order for them to invite me down here. But I wasn't even expecting to be an extra. I just thought, oh, they gave me an opportunity. Why not?
All right, so you're a science fiction fan, and I know you like Trek and also Babylon 5. I got to ask you the important question. Babylon 5 or Deep Space Nine, which one's better?
Oh, goodness. It's been years since I've seen both. I want to say, overall, I think I liked Babylon 5 better, but they're very, very, very close.
That's the right call. Babylon 5 is the correct answer.
I'd passed the test.
That's right. You are a true geek. Now let's talk about Star Trek. Who's your favorite captain?
Picard.
You didn't even hesitate on that. You were like, Archer? No, he doesn't even count.
Well, the only series, and I'm probably the odd man out again, that I really didn't like was the original series with Kirk. I mean, I'm sure it was good for the 60s, but, you know, watching it these days, I just think, man, I just didn't like it that much.
What about the new movies? Do you like the new cast that they have?
Yeah, I like them. I think a lot of the 60s ones I didn't like because of the cheesy, campy stories, and that was probably mostly the reason. But the new ones I like, the reboots, I think they're a little too action-y for Star Trek, but they're still pretty good.
And who's your favorite fantasy writer?
I would say my mom doesn't count because that would...
Oh, your mom totally counts. Come on, nepotism rules.
Yeah. Well, my mom first, but outside of my mom, I would say the one I've read the most is Terry Brooks, the Shannara. That's how I say it. He says it Shannara, but I say it Shannara.
I think everybody else says Shannara, too. Did you watch the TV show?
I haven't, but it's on my to-get list to watch it. And I've read almost all of them, except probably the most recent ones in the last couple of years.
Now, you said your mom's an author. What has she written?
The only two novellas that she's actually published are called Flare Shifter and To Steal a Moon.
And they're fantasy genre?
Yeah, they're fantasy, some sci-fi mixed in there because they take place on different planets with ships and everything. So,
and where could people pick up these books?
They can find both of them on Amazon. They're like $3 each. They're e-books, so hasn't made physical copies yet. And Barnes & Noble, and I think she's got her own website where they can just buy it direct. But I think that's it. But they might be on Kobo as well. I'm not 100% sure.
So tell everybody what the name of the books are and what your mom's name is.
So the Flare Shifter is the first one she published. The second one is To Steal a Moon. And her name is Erin McMichael, E-R-I-N-M-I-C-H-A-E-L.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks.
I am Cheryl Jones, and I'm from Fullerton, California.
All right, and what was your in into the geek culture?
I think my in, that's a tricky question, but I think it really was Ghostbusters, the movie Ghostbusters back in 84. I remember standing in line multiple times for, you know, an hour or two each time, back when there weren't a million movie theaters showing each movie. So I would stand at the great big local theater and go see it. And I had my, I was like 15 or 16, which is kind of embarrassing because I like to think I was younger doing this. But I had my like gray parachute pants with zippers on them and stuff and my black Ghostbusters shirt. And that was like my uniform that I'd wear to the movie. So I'm pretty sure that was really my first, you know, geekdom. And it continues today. It's my all-time favorite movie and a movie that influenced me. And yeah.
Well, I was wearing my members only jacket to the screening of Ghostbusters, so don't feel bad about your parachute pants. But you also have a podcast speaking about movies. Yes. Tell everybody what your podcast is and what it's about.
All right, it's called Movies Made Me. You can find it in all the usual places, iTunes and all that, and at mmmpodcast.com. And I have a guest on each episode. It comes up every other week. And each guest talks about five movies that have influenced them to be who they are. And then we go beyond movies, so they talk about three other things, anything under the sun. But the main brunt of it is the movies. So currently in the lead from, 35 episodes so far, Star Wars Episode 4, New Hope, and Jaws are the two. They just keep switching back and forth for which one's in the lead for most influential.
Well, that makes sense because, you know, Jaws was the first big summer blockbuster. And then Star Wars, I remember waiting in line around the corner of the cinema.
Yeah.
So that totally makes sense. What about for you other than Ghostbuster? What's the other movie?
Well, Jaws was my big one. There were two movies that got me to really start the podcast. Jaws was one because I now, 40 years later, I still have the fear. And it's strong.
That's not easy living in California, is it?
No, it's not. And I volunteer with the surf therapy organization. So we're out at the beach and all I do is worry all day. And I'm never, ever going in the water for them. I will always volunteer on shore. And then the other, I'm dressed in a pirate outfit today, and that all comes out of Pirates of the Caribbean, which influenced me in ways I never could have imagined as I walked in to see it, which I thought, it's not going to be any good, you know. And I ended up eventually going, moving to England for a year and getting a master's degree in maritime history. And, you know, I've been a tall ship sailor, and I took up fencing and English country dancing and all this kind of stuff, and I have this pirate outfit, and, yeah, so it got a little out of hand.
Well, I'm going to have to show you the wedding, my wedding photos, because we got dressed like pirates for my wedding.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I know what you mean about, you know, your fear of Jaws, and even though you go to the beach, because one of the most influential movies on me was The Last Temptation of Christ, and every time I go to a crucifixion, I'm always nervous.
Yeah, that'll happen. That'll happen.
Now, what about comic books? You just got into comic books?
I did, yes. I just got into them. I had a friend, you know, I saw the Deadpool movie, so I was interested in that. And I had a friend who told me to read Merc with a Mouth, so I bought the sort of compilation of that. I bought a compilation of Ghostbusters comics because I was curious about those. I knew they had them. Of course, I bought, I went to Free Comic Book Day for the first time so I could get issue zero of Spectrum that goes with Con Man, which we're all here for today. And, yeah, so I'm just now starting to get into them, and it's kind of cool. I never really could get into it before, and now I'm, I guess, finally in an age where I can appreciate comic books.
Oh, yeah, IDW has a whole bunch of movie-based comic books, so it's really good.
Yeah.
Well, tell everybody again what your podcast is and where they can find it.
Okay, it's Movies Made Me, and you can find it at mmmpodcast.com or, of course, iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Music.
All right, so everybody go out and subscribe to that podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's great to be on your show.
Hi, I'm Jackie Benjamin. I'm from Magalia, California.
All right, Jackie. So we're here at Con Man Season 2, and I'm going to guess that you're a Firefly fan. Is that correct?
I'm a little bit of a Firefly fan, yes. A little bit of a brown coat.
All right, you aim to misbehave. I got you.
Always aiming to misbehave.
Now, you are also a Harry Potter fan. Is that correct?
Big Harry Potter fan. Yes, yes. For the last, well, since the Harry Potter books and movies started coming out, we, my girlfriend and I put on Harry Potter parties for our Girl Scouts in the Paradise Magalia area, and the whole shebang, we really did it up. We had classes, and, you know, we made mandrakes, and just all sorts of fun stuff for the girls, and they just loved it.
Did you have Dementors also there?
Oh, yeah. We had my husband dressed up as a big old Dementor and scared the girls. And they went, oh, it was just for every new book, that was the theme that we did that year. So
how did your husband feel when you said, I want you to be a Dementor?
He actually liked that part, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He likes scaring people at Halloween and stuff, so that was kind of right up his alley.
Okay, I got you. So if the Sorting Hat goes on you, what school are they going to put you in?
I'm definitely a Gryffindor.
And why Gryffindor? Because you like to break rules and not follow along?
Well, I think I'm probably a little braver than most, and I do tend to stand up for myself and for people who are maybe being picked on a little bit or not getting a fair shake. So.
All right, well, that makes sense. If you were going to be a Disney villain, what Disney villain would you be?
Oh, I would definitely be Maleficent. I love Maleficent. She's a little sexy, she's a little scary, and I think she is probably a little misunderstood.
Now, cartoon version or live action version do you prefer?
You know, I kind of like the cartoon version. the most recent movie was wonderful, and she did a really good job, but I'm a little more classic girl.
Yeah, that movie was a little too rapey for me.
Yeah. It was a little kind of creepy. You're right, when they took her wings off and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
that was
did
just,
they violate her? Like,
yeah, I was like, oh. Yeah, I like the little more powerful Maleficent not having to go.
Right. Maleficent should change into a dragon, not be friends with a dragon, right?
Exactly.
All right, well, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. It was nice to meet you.
My name is Megan Warner. I am from the San Francisco area.
Now, Megan, you're from the San Francisco area. Do you live down here in L.A., or did you just drive down for the shooting?
No, I drove down for the shoot, yeah.
And up in San Francisco, you are involved with another big sci-fi project. Could you please tell everybody about it?
It's actually not based in San Francisco, but I'm involved with Star Trek Continues. It's an online fan film web series about the original series of Star Trek.
And where can people go to see this web series?
You can find it on YouTube or on our website, StarTrekContinues.com.
And what do you do for the series?
I've done a lot of different things. I've been a PA. I've been I was a script supervisor for a couple of episodes, and now I'm the unit production manager.
And what does a unit production manager do?
Basically, they work with the first assistant director to make sure that the shoot is going the way it's supposed to. They make sure everybody's on set when they need to be, that, you know, it's, they work with the first AD to say, hey, this is the timing, how are we doing with this? And then the AD can kind of poke the director and be like, hey, we got to make sure we're on track, and just kind of keeping everything going.
Who is your favorite Disney villain?
My favorite Disney villain? I mean, the first one that comes to mind is Jafar. I don't know if he's necessarily my favorite, but he's always, like, when people say, what's your favorite, that's what I think of. So maybe he is. I don't know. He's kind of fun. I like his beard.
But. Okay, that's wrong. By the answer is Ursula the Sea Hag. She is your favorite.
Okay. My favorite is Ursula.
There you go, because she reminded me of my recruiter when I was in the Army, so that's why I just automatically think Ursula. All right, so if you had a choice between, I'm going to give you a Sophie's choice here, okay, another Firefly movie or a Spectrum movie, what are you going to choose?
Oh, that is such a hard question. Another Firefly movie would be awesome because, like, we know the Firefly characters and, like, we already have the investment with that. But it would be really cool to see Spectrum turn into something real. And Alan could actually be in it. So I guess I'm going to go with Spectrum.
That is the correct answer. You're just knocking him out of the park here.
Yes, I win.
So what was your gateway into geekdom? What drew you in? Was it a person or a thing?
Well, when I was a lot younger, I used to watch Star Wars all the time with my brother. So the first convention I ever went to was actually a Star Wars convention. It was back before they were actually a commonplace thing. But my brother and my mom and I went to it. The first one that I think I probably chose on my own, so to speak, was probably Firefly. Firefly or Stargate SG-1, they kind of all both happened at pretty much the same time. But that was probably those two.
All right, now I'm going to go back to a Star Trek question for you. What is your favorite Star Trek episode?
Oh, of which series?
Let's go with the original series.
Oh, no. My favorite original series episode, I can't remember what it's called, but it's the one where Scotty gets accused of murdering a belly dancer. I think it's a lot of fun.
I think he actually murdered that belly dancer. I think he got away with it.
No, he totally didn't. He didn't. I am...
He didn't get away with it, or he didn't murder her?
He didn't murder her. I'm on Team Scotty. I believe him. He didn't do it.
I think he was in a drunk, blind rage. Because, you know, he was always drinking on the show, right?
That's true. He was.
And that's why he's always telling the captain, it'll take a half hour, because he's too busy murdering a belly dancer. He's got to finish that before he can fix the engine.
That would take up some time, that's for sure.
You should have that as one of your episodes on your... You should write that script now, and then we can all watch it on Star Trek Continues. And tell everybody where they can see Star Trek Continues again?
Yeah, well, I mean, I can... I'll pass that story idea on along to our executive producer, but you can find it on StarTrekContinues.com.
All right, thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm Don Meyer from San Diego.
All right, Don, and so what brought you here today?
So originally a Firefly fan, and of course that leads you to everything that Nathan Fillion and Alan Tudyk are doing and things like that. So we backed the original Con Man Kickstarter, and when we got the emails about this, here we are.
And were you one of the original fans who found it on television, or did you find it later on through DVDs?
So we actually watched Firefly, the first run, the original. We saw the first episode that aired, when it aired. When I say we, it's my wife and I, Linda. Her name's Linda. I'm Don still. We watched it when it first aired, watched them move it around, watched them talk about killing it, and were there to immediately lament when they killed it.
Did you have a favorite character from the crew?
It was really a good... I think it was a really good ensemble cast. So we felt like... I mean, I felt like they were all really good. Of course, Mal. I mean, yeah, really, everyone's great. I don't know if I could pick a favorite. They were all just perfect.
What is it that brought you into the geek culture? Was it Firefly, or was it something else earlier that you just started watching and you're like, oh, I love this?
So when I was, this will give you an idea of how old I am. When I was a little kid, didn't really understand what I was watching. I was watching Star Trek in its first run on television, the original series. So, yeah, that's where I started being a science fiction fan.
All right, so Star Trek was your gateway. Which captain's your favorite?
You know, again, it's got to be Captain Kirk because that's the original. That's what I you know, literally grew up on.
All right, well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
I'm Ruby. I'm actually local in the LA area.
My name is May, and I'm also local from the LA area.
Okay, so I noticed I saw you underneath the tents, and you're reading some manga. What is your favorite manga?
My favorite manga, I would have to say, is Appleseed by Masamune Shirow.
And why is it your favorite? What is it about that speaks to you?
The art style, the whole post-apocalyptic scene, and how the world's coming back because it's after a massive World War III type situation, and how it mixes sci-fi like cyborgs and technobots and whatnot, and how they view society changing.
Awesome. And what about you?
I actually have two favorites. One is Please Save My Earth. It's about it's all these people that actually end up reincarnating, kind of like present time. So it kind of follows their story and their previous lives and how it's kind of interconnected with their current lives. And the other one is Rurouni Kenshin. So it has to do with it's part historical, covering characters that kind of shift from the whole kind of like the samurai period Japan moving into a kind of a more Western civilized nation. So it kind of goes through his journey as he adjusts through to the new world and kind of like putting aside his past as a killer and using his skills to protect the people that he cares for. So I like that story. There's a historical aspect to it as well. So.
All right, excellent. And, you know, a lot of people who aren't into the manga confuse anime with manga. Could you tell us what the difference is between the two?
Manga is literally your Japanese comic book, whereas anime is the Japanese animation. And the way a lot of people confuse it is because there's a lot of overlap. Either you have the manga first, and then it turns into an animation, or the animation gets turned into a manga. So that's where a lot of confusion can come in for people when they think about anime and manga.
And what was it that drew you into manga? Was it somebody turning you onto it, or did you just discover it on your own?
I think it's mostly discovered through your siblings or friends. Like when you're a kid and somebody brought something home and you kind of just got into it. So
do you remember what the first one you got was?
No. 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 I think I was like an elementary school kid. I think my sister brought some home from friends. So. Had to hide it from our parents.
wait, why did you have to hide it from your parents?
We weren't allowed to read that kind of stuff as a kid.
Was it distracting
from our schoolwork.
Oh, distracting from your schoolwork. It wasn't dirty or anything.
No, it was distracting from our schoolwork. But we still got our homework done, you know.
Okay, and what about for you?
If you're talking about the animation side, when they brought over Robotech, which is Macross, and then if you talk about manga, I think my first manga was Ranma ½. My brother had copies, and so I was reading them.
And did you have to hide those, too?
From my dad. No, my mom, not so much. From my dad, yes. Because it's a whole Chinese-Japanese thing, which I will not get into right now. But there's a whole World War relation, so my father is anti-Japanese, mostly. So you have to hide anything that was Japanese-related from my dad.
Okay. And what was it that drew you into the sci-fi realm? Was it the manga also? Was that your gateway drug into science fiction fandom, or was it something else?
Not really. I think it's just general interest. You know, you're exposed to different things, shows, movies. And of course, with anime and manga, there's so many different genres, so sci-fi included, so they kind of all overlap. And the most basic thing that you end up being attracted to is a story. You know, do the characters kind of capture your imagination? Do you care about the characters? So I think, you know, regardless of the medium, whether it's a TV series, movie, manga, or anime, it's as long as you have good character and good story, it's going to draw you in. So.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Veronica Hernandez, and I'm from Gardena, California.
Veronica, word on the street is you are a big comic book fan. Is that true?
This is true. Guilty as charged.
And what are you currently reading that you really like?
Right now, what I'm currently reading is the Injustice series, and it is crazy insane, and I love it.
So could you tell our listeners what Injustice is about?
So Injustice basically is, in a nutshell, Superman deciding that humanity can't take care of itself, can't police itself. So he and, like, half the Justice League pretty much take over the entire world. And as much as you love the boy next door, the superhero, you just end up hating him as the series progresses.
But he had a reason for doing this. Can you tell everybody what it was? What drove Superman to this decision?
Oh, well, what's the number one reason that drives us? For love. His, I don't know if I want to spoil it or not, but let's just say someone very close to him passes in a horrific manner that only is depicted in comics. So it was pretty insane.
All right, and you also read manga, is that correct?
I read manga as well. I'm not too current on it, but like some of my favorites are Fruits Baskets, Boys Over Flower. I do like Full Metal Alchemist. That one was a fun one. And Cowboy Bebop, classic.
So Fruit Baskets, that sounds interesting. What's that about?
Well, Fruits Basket is about this family that is cursed, and the boys... if they're hugged by a member of the opposite sex, not within their family, they turn into the zodiac animals. So one turns into a snake, one turns into a mouse, one turns into a cat, and then there's a few girls, and they also, if they are hugged by the opposite sex, then they also turn into the zodiac animals. And it's hilarious.
How do they turn back?
So after a while, they just kind of poof back to their human shapes. So it's really funny. It's a really tender story. So not as crazy as you would think.
Is it suitable for kids?
It is. It actually is. It's not that bad.
All right, cool. Well, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
Well, we here at the Long Box are very proud to say that we have our first ever sponsor. Our good friends over at IanLeon.com have given us a coupon code, and we went to a local improv group to have them record our very own first commercial. So without any further ado, here is the first commercial ever for the Long Box guys. Take it away there, Assass Asylum.
Hey, Dale, that was a great con. Let's go out and get something to eat.
But I can't. I'm doing Hercules cosplay today, and both of my nipples are showing. I don't have a shirt.
Then I think we should go over to Ian Leno's booth, or perhaps even IanLeon.com, so you can get an awesome shirt like the one I am wearing.
That is a great shirt, but I think the con's over. There's no way to get in touch with him now.
You can go to IanLeon.com and at checkout put in the code LONGBOX for 15% off.
What was that again?
IanLeon.com for 15% off. Just use the code LONGBOX at checkout.
Thanks, announcer guy. You've totally saved us.
Yeah, and now we can go out to eat. Food.
All right, I'm just going to say that's a good workshop.
Okay, so this is Mike with the Long Box, guys, and I am not talking to an extra on the set of Con Man Season 2. I'm actually talking one of the crew. Sir, could you introduce yourself and tell us what you do?
I'm Nick Schleier. I'm a production assistant that works primarily with the Friends of Production, which is all the investors and the character actors that have come here from all over the country to be our background.
How did you get this job?
The production supervisor is a friend of mine. Usually the way it works in this business is you have somebody on the inside that kind of says, hey, this person will be perfect for the job. So they know that I work well with large groups of people. So they brought me in to work with the extras.
So you're the extra wrangler, kind of.
Yeah, I'm the FOP supervisor, Friends of Production Supervisor. So that's my title.
Is dealing with all the extras kind of like herding cats?
You guys are the best cats I've ever hung out with.
Really?
Very nice people. Very nice.
Now, have you worked on other productions also?
I just finished a run with a show called Swedish Dicks, which will be on Viaplay in Sweden. I was in the AD team on that. And I just finished an indie film called Full Dress that will be at Sundance this year. So I'm busy.
Awesome. Now, you've piqued my interest with Swedish Dicks. Is it a porn or a detective show?
It is a detective show. We actually are on a porn set for one of the very funny episodes. But it is it's about two hapless, bumbling Swedish investigators that live in Los Angeles. It's very funny. Check it out.
Awesome. Well, are you a sci-fi fan or just a movie file?
I'm a movie file. I mean, I love the business. I wouldn't call myself a sci-fi fan like you guys are sci-fi fans. I'm definitely an amateur, but I've learned a lot just sitting around with you for the last 3 days. So,
all right. Are you originally from New York?
No, I'm originally from Kansas. I graduated from the University of Kansas, and I am a bi-coastal production guy. So I worked in New York for 10 years and L.A. for 7.
I was just wondering, because you had the Mets hat on. Are you a Mets fan?
Huge Mets fan.
All right. Your team ruined my childhood because I'm a Red Sox fan. I just hope you're happy.
Are you a Red Sox fan?
Oh, yeah, big time.
I'm very sorry, sir. I'm very sorry. I mean, you must have taken some pleasure, though, in watching Kansas City beat us this year or last year, because we lost in exactly the same way. Daniel Murphy went right through his legs, just like Billy Buckner. So,
you said the name. Ever since the Red Sox won the World Series, I have, like...
Like Macbeth, you don't say it. You don't say that
no,
name.
No, actually, since that happened, it's like a weight was lifted off of my shoulders, and now I enjoy when other people win, too. I'm like, good for you. You haven't won in a long time. I know your pain.
You're like, yeah, the Sox have finally grown up. They're like a fully matured baseball team. So, you know, the Mets are, they're just as hard to watch as the Sox because we always seem to be more injured, you know, than other teams. But, you know, it's good. It's good being a fan, especially for a loser. I don't mind it.
And the Mets have a history of being really good and almost making it, kind of like the Red Sox. So I feel for you.
A World Series appearance for the Mets is technically a World Series win.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike.
I'm Linda Meyer. I'm from San Diego, California.
Okay. And I'm guessing from your shirt that says Bring Back Firefly that you're a Firefly fan. Who's your favorite character on the series?
Kaylee.
And why Kaylee? What about her spoke to you?
She was the most surprising character. She looked like this sweet, innocent thing, but she had a lot of gumption behind her, and she was the most surprising character throughout the whole thing. Yep.
All right. And so are there any other sci-fi shows out there that you really love more than Firefly, or is Firefly your number one?
More than Firefly would be very hard to find. No, there's nothing better than Firefly. It was the best.
All right, and what was your introduction into the geek world?
Star Wars was probably my gateway, and then Indiana Jones and all of that kind of thing started me down the path, and I met my husband going to, you know, the Star Wars movies, and so... Yeah, he kind of led me down the path of geekdom.
Did you met your husband at a Star Wars movie?
No, we debated Star Wars movies, and we were, you know, talking about the plots and stuff, and we had a bet, and you know, on how the next Star Wars movie was going to be, and yeah, and the rest is, you know, much more history. Yep.
Well, that's sweet. So. Are you more of a Han Solo or a Luke kind of gal?
Oh, Han Solo. And Han shot first, by the way.
Excellent. All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Carla. I am from West Covina, just outside of L.A.
Carla, word on the street is that you are a huge Supernatural fan. Is that correct?
That is highly correct. Yes, it is.
Which of the brothers do you prefer?
I do not have a preference on brothers per se. I am a Winchester girl. I like the brothers fighting together. I don't pick sides.
Castiel's my favorite.
I'm not a big Cass fan. I think he should have had a big kind of redeeming storyline and gone out in a blaze of glory. But I feel like they've kind of dragged out his storyline a bit to appease the fans. And I'm not particularly fond of that kind of storytelling.
What's your favorite Supernatural episode?
Wait,
you know what? For the fans who don't watch Supernatural, maybe we should tell them what Supernatural is about.
What it's about? Well, I can give you the glossy version of it, which is two attractive brothers hunting. Or I can tell you that it is about two brothers that it's kind of a family business. They were brought up hunting monsters and demons and ghosts and all that kind of stuff and kind of saving people and going out and saving the world and... It kind of goes from there.
All right. And what's your favorite show?
Favorite episode?
Favorite episode.
Well, my favorite character is Chuck. And when they introduced him, Monster, at the end of this book, that was my absolute favorite. But it's from that. Anything that he was in
is kind of on my top 10 list. But Monster at the End of This Book, Swan Song was fantastic. The 200th episode was amazing. I've watched it from the beginning, and I've never stopped, never given up. Not all the seasons were good. Not all the episodes were good. But it's there's something about the story that you just connect to and that you can't let go of for some reason. Some people can. I just can't. And some of my favorite episodes are those episodes where they're not giving up. They're just going to keep fighting, and they're going to keep fighting for each other, you know. And that's part of the reason why they're my favorite episodes, like Swan Song, you know. They were going to fight until one of them went down, and that's what they did.
All right. And how about superheroes? Who's your favorite superhero?
Nowadays, well, Captain America and Thor and Spider-Man are kind of fighting for the top spot right now, but Captain... Yeah.
Now, which Captain America do you like? Do you like the Steve Rogers Captain America or the Sam Wilson Captain America?
The Steve. I'm a Steve girl.
Your classic Steve.
Yes. Yeah. I grew up with Steve, and I have been a big fan of his for a very long time, and we won't give away my age. But I've been a fan of his for a really long time, and I'm a diehard to the classics, you know, to the Tony Starks and the Steve Rogers and just the Peter Parkers, as opposed to some of the stories that they're changing. I'm bringing in Miles, and they're, you know, Bucky had it, and Falcon had it, and now Iron Man's a woman, and while that's great, I like the classic stories of the characters, you know. Don't change my characters and turn them into something else and just completely erase the history that they've had, you know. I don't like when they do that, so I'm a diehard to the originals, to Steve, to Tony, you know, that kind of stuff.
Okay, so if you were a Spider-Man fan and a Captain America fan, how did you feel in the last movie, spoilers, that when Spider-Man grabbed the shield?
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I'm a huge fan of all these characters being brought together. So every time, you know, as I was watching Civil War, every time a new character came on, you know, I was almost in tears, like happy, excited, joyous tears because, oh, here's, you know, there's Falcon, and oh, look, here's Hawkeye, and oh my gosh, he brought Ant-Man, and, you know, every character that they brought in, you know, when Tony said that he had somebody and they showed, you know, I was freaking out. I was so excited about it. So being able to see them interact was amazing for me as a fan, having them all together and him taking the shield away and just being like, hey, so what's up? I mean, that's Peter. That is Peter. I feel like Tom Holland is the Peter Parker we deserve. I really do.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Sure. Not a problem. Thanks.
Hello. I'm Princess Buttercup.
And I'm the Dread Pirate Roberts.
The Dread Pirate Roberts. That's amazing. My dad used to talk stories about the Dread Pirate Roberts. You seem much younger than what my dad described.
Yes, well, you know, pirating keeps me eternally youthful.
It must be very good on the skin, the sun and everything, beating down on you constantly. Let me ask you a question, seeing that mask looks very hard. Like, you must not have a lot of peripheral vision with that mask on. Does that make it difficult to sword fight?
It can, but with my extreme level of skill, it compensates greatly for not being able to see.
You two are adorable. How did you meet?
Well, we met on the set of this movie. I mean, in real life. on a farm.
Oh, you were a farmer?
No. He was a farm boy.
Oh, and
that...
You were a princess.
Obviously.
And how did you get into pirating from being a farm boy?
Well, I left to seek my fortune and fell in with the wrong crowd, rather. And it seemed like a lot better than fetching water and pots for
what?
Her all day. So naturally, I fell into the piracy.
Naturally, that totally makes sense. Have you guys been together ever since you were young, or did you date other people?
Did you?
Many wenches all over Tortuga.
I thought I was special.
Oh, you are special.
That's not what I was used to hearing.
So when you guys first got together, did you go like on a honeymoon or a vacation or something?
I don't remember.
It's a whirlwind romance filled with fire swamps and pirate ships and horses, kidnappings. Yeah, the usual.
Wait, did you say the Fire Swamp? Don't they have rodents of unusual size there?
I don't believe they exist.
And now, as you're out adventuring, aren't you afraid of like giants or people like that ambushing you?
Not really. No, you kind of just conquer obstacles as they come.
Would you like to say anything out there to our listeners?
Yes, be sure to watch Con Man Season 2 when it comes out this fall, or buy it on DVD.
As you wish.
Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya, and I'm going on IanLino.com. Prepare to save.
Emily, Lingley, Lip, Famous are the Long Box Guys.
But what if I don't need a shirt, Inigo? What if I need same glassware?
You can still go to IanLino.com to get your glassware or socks.
And you can use the code LONGBOX and get 15% off.
Anyone need a sock?
All right, guys, and that's going to do it for Thinking Outside the Long Box. Thanks again for joining us. And remember, don't waste your energy dissing what you hate. Just promote what you love. Have a great weekend.
One of the guys. That's why I've never felt like one.